Genesis chapter number 3. The book of Genesis chapter number 3. First book in the Bible. We're going to read one verse, verse number 20. Give you just a moment to find that. And we'll read Genesis chapter 3. Verse number 20, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. The Bible said, "And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living." Let's pray. Lord, I do thank you for letting us be here today. And Lord, we just never want to come to church and just go through the motions and got all kinds of things on our mind for after and later on this week. But Lord, help us as we come this morning to have our hearts and minds on the Word of God and Lord, on the Spirit of God speaking to our heart. I pray for that. I pray for great liberty as I stand and try to preach this morning. I pray that nothing would hinder in the service. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts and help us from thy word as only you can. We think about Mother's Day today. And Lord, we want to honor that because we find in your word that you have honored that. And dear Lord, so we ask for your help today. I pray you'd speak to hearts. I pray you'd do what you'd like to do in our midst. We'll thank you. We bring these petitions, these objects that's already been mentioned today before you. And we ask, Lord, you'd help in the week to come. In the revival meetings, Lord, I pray you'd just have your way there and we'll thank you. We ask it all in Jesus' name and amen. Let's read that verse one more time, just one verse this morning, but we'll be looking in chapter 2 and chapter 3. But Genesis chapter 3, verse 20 said, "And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living." And I ask you this morning, have you ever thought of all the names that we have for our mothers? You know, a mother can be called a lot of different names. Mother is one, and then mom. I call my mom, Mom. Some people call their mother, Mommy. You might think about when a child is smaller, they might call their mom, Mommy, or Mama. Then a little bit later, when they have grandchildren, they have to decide again, what am I going to be called? What are they going to call me? And so there's all kinds of other names, Nana and Granny and Mamaw and Grandma and all kinds of things that we call our mothers. And I was studying about this and reading about it in most languages, especially the European countries. If you were visiting over there, and you heard somebody talking about their mama, you could probably pick that up because the word is very similar in other languages, the word for mom or mother. And so a lot of names that we give to our mothers. We've always called my dad's mother, we called her grandmother. Grandmother. She wanted to be called grandmother. And if you called one, we called the other one Mamaw. If you called Mamaw grandmother, she didn't like that. And if you called grandmother Mamaw, she didn't like that. They wanted to be called by their specific name. And so I had a grandmother and I had a Mamaw. And then I knew my great-grandparents. We called one of them Mama Thompson. And so all kinds of names that we call. But when you talk about calling somebody grandmother, that grand, that signifies great. You know, you might hear somebody is a great grandmother. That's really saying grand or great, great. Great and grand means the same thing. Comes from the same root words. And it signifies being old, advanced in age as well as great. But I got to thinking about this. If ever there was a grandmother, she's right here in verse number 20. If ever there was a grandmother, it's Eve. Verse 20, "And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. And I want to try to preach today on the subject, the mother of all. She's the mother of all mothers. She's the grandmother of all mothers. She is, according to the Bible, when we read about Eve, she's the mother of all living. Now, it's interesting as we study in the Bible that when we come to Eve here in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 20, Eve did not begin her life as Eve. If you look back over in chapter number 2, the first time we see Adam and Eve, or the first time we see Eve, we see her first of all as an individual. Look at chapter 2 and verse number 21. The Bible says over there, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man." The first time you see Eve in the Word of God, we see her as an individual. She is separate from Adam. She was taken from Adam. She is an individual person. She's separate from Adam, but equal. She was taken from his rib, not his foot. She's taken from his rib, not his head. They were separate, but they were equal. They were the same, being that they were human beings, but they were different from each other. Adam and Eve are the same, but they are different from each other. And so the first time we see her as an individual. The second time we see her as a wife. Luke chapter 2 and verse number 23, the Bible said, "And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." And so the Bible said there in the last part of verse 22 that God brought her unto the man, that he had made a woman, he brought her unto the man. And God said, "All right, Adam, here she is. Here's a woman." And Adam said, "Boy, that's great. I'm going to call her woman." Now, if you look back in chapter 3, verse number 20, the Bible said, "And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him." And so God made him a woman. And the only thing that Adam could come up with was woman. I mean, when he looked on her, and, you know, that'll sort of get you in trouble today. "Come here, woman." But he gave names to all the animals and all the fowl of the air and all the cattle and all of these. So we know Adam was a good name giver. But when God brought his wife and said, "I made a woman," he said, "That'll do." You'd think, you know, he'd have come up with a Ruth or a Esther or a Abigail or some beautiful name. But, he, you know, men just haven't changed much in thousands of years. "What are you going to call her?" "Well, woman, that's good enough." And that's what her name was at first. He didn't call her Eve to begin with. He did not call her Eve until we get over to chapter 3, verse 20. He gave her another name. He first, when she was his wife, called her woman. But in chapter 3, verse 20, "And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living." Now, I want to say before going on this morning that that is the correct order. An individual, a wife, and a mother. We seem to have got that, forgot about that in the day and time in which we live. But God ordained it to be that way, that first of all, we would be individuals. Then we would come together in holy matrimony. Then we would have children and become mothers and fathers, not the other way around. So we find in the Bible God had an order for these things. And we find here that he called her name Eve. And because, look what the Bible says in verse 20, because she was the mother of all living. What an honor that is. Think about that this morning. She was the mother of all living. What an honor that is. What a great title that is. You ladies would much rather be called mother than woman, wouldn't you? He called her mother. Her value went up greatly. We'll look at this in just a moment, but the mother of all living. This will show you about three things about the mother of all today. First of all, she is the mother of all physical life. She's the mother of all physical life. Now, the word mother, if you study that out and its history and where it comes from, the word mother is a very interesting word. It comes from its root. The root meaning of the word mother is the word matrix or womb. Mother has to do with the womb. Childbearing. It comes from a word also, the root word of it, which means mud. That's a little different, isn't it? But mud a potter would take mud or clay and make a mold from that mud, and then would do a casting from that. And so you would take more clay or mud and you'd put it in that mold and you'd make the same thing over and over and over again. Can you see the connection between that word there? A womb and bears children over and over, and then the whole process is repeated over and over and over again. And really the word or the phrase Mother Earth, that's not a new phrase. That's been around for hundreds of years. Eve was the original Mother Earth. She was a mother that came from the earth. God made Adam from the dust of the ground. She was made from him. Mother Earth is not the planet. Mother Earth is Eve. She's a mother derived from the earth. She's Mother Earth. Adam, his name means man of red clay. So you had Mother Earth and Daddy Dirt. First of all, that's where we all come from. Isn't that uplifting today? We came from the dust of the ground, and when we pass away from this life, we'll return to what we were made out of. The dust of the earth. That's what the word means. That we get our word matrimony, marriage, from the word mother. It's the same root word meaning, to bear. It has to do with the birth of children. You cannot have matrimony. You cannot have marriage without the ability, or at least the hope of the ability, to procreate. To have children. What are you saying, preacher? You know what I'm saying. You cannot have something and call it marriage. That's between a man and a man. Or that is between a woman and a woman. You do not have the right ingredients there for matrimony, for childbirth. You have to have an Adam. And you have to have an Eve. And if you don't have it, you may have something else, but it is not marriage. It's not marriage. She is the mother of all physical life. You look around us this morning. Where did we all come from? According to chapter 3, verse 20, we all have an original set of parents. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. We all have a common ancestry. And our common ancestry goes all the way back. You think about that. Sometimes we say, we'll meet somebody, maybe from another place. Met somebody a while back and found out their last name was Greer. And you know how that conversation goes? Well, which set of Greers are you related to? We won't find out if we're cousins somewhere down the road. And when you talk to somebody like that, usually the last thing you say is, well, if you go back far enough, we're all related. Well, if you go back far enough, we're all related. It doesn't matter if your last name starts with an A or if your last name starts with a Z, because we all have a common parent and we all have a common mother. Her name is Eve. Can you imagine the first of being Adam and Eve? Can you imagine the first of being the first mother and the first childbirth? If you look at chapter 3 and verse 16, and you know the Bible doesn't elaborate on this. I hope we can find out some of these things when we get to heaven. But Adam and Eve had sinned in chapter number 3, and one of the results of that was sorrow in childbirth. Chapter 3, verse 16 said, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And so, can you imagine the first child that was born that Eve had? And maybe she screamed out and said, this hurts. First one to ever experience childbirth. First one to go through anything like that. First one to ever bring a baby to her breast and feed that baby and have the joy of that and to watch that little child grow. First one to figure out, you know, I wonder what they did about diapers then. Adam and Eve, they had to figure all this out. There wasn't anybody to say, hey, what about this? They had to figure out how to raise a child, all of the things that are involved with that. First baby to ever teeth and have teeth. She was the first teacher. Who is your first teacher? Mama. When I went to school, I could already read out of a King James Bible. I remember being this little and getting ready to go to school, and we were visiting my family and parents, and we was down at a neighbor's house, and mom and dad, they all got to talking about them, their children going to school, and they said, Wynn can already read. He can read out of the Bible. And I remember standing in our neighbor's living room and opening up the Bible, and I'm probably 6 years old at the time, 5, 6 years old, and reading out of the Word of God. You know who taught me how to do that? My mama did. Your mama is your first teacher most of the time. And I can't understand this to this day. A lot of people say, well, I can't understand that King James Bible. I've been reading that before I went to school. My mother taught me how to read. Your mother was your first teacher. Adam and Eve, they were the first parents that had teenagers. It's a wonder any of us are here today. It's a wonder they didn't do away with the race then, if they're teenagers or anything like they are modern days. When I was a teenager to my parents, when you were growing up, they were the first ones. Eve would have more than likely have been the first person to deliver another. You know, she would have been the first midwife. When their children begin to grow, and she'd have been the first nurse to bandage a cut knee or anything like that. So you think about, what does it mean to be the mother of all living? It's no wonder when we need to know something, we ask mama. At my house, that's the standard answer, that when they come and ask me something, I say, I don't know, go ask your mama. Where's this at? I don't know. Go ask. You ladies shouldn't get aggravated when your husband and when your children ask you something. You're supposed to know everything. Go ask mom. She knows. Where am I supposed to be next Friday night? I have no idea. Go ask Kim. I don't know. That is, God just has given them the ability to take care of and to be experts in these things. She is the mother of all physical life. But not only is she the mother of all physical life, she is the mother of all spiritual life. Now look at chapter 3, verse number 21, what the Bible says. The Bible goes on and it says, "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them." Now, not going into great detail about what is going on here, but they had sinned against God. And God had said, "You're going to die." What we find here, they did not die on the day that they sinned. But what we find is that the Lord came and they were naked in the garden. That's what the Bible says. Chapter 2, verse number 25, "And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. But after they had sinned against God, they became ashamed. And they hid from the Lord." And what we find in verse number 21, "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them." What we find is the very first picture of Calvary in the Bible. We find that because of sin, the relationship between Adam and Eve with God was broken. And because of sin, a sacrifice had to be made. And at that time, it involved animals. All of the Old Testament sacrifices and all of the shedding of blood was pointing to the Lamb of God that would come into the world. And Hebrews 9:22 said, "Without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins." All of those lambs pointed to the Lamb with a capital L. All of those sacrifices pointed to the Lamb that John looked down the road and seen, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God taketh away the sin of the world." It pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. It pointed that there would be no forgiveness, no covering, no atonement, no justification without that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ would have to be shed on Calvary. That's what that was a picture of. Eve would have been the first Sunday school teacher. Actually, she'd have been the first Sabbath day teacher because they observed the Sabbath day. But can you imagine the stories that she would have told her children? I don't know that she'd have went into great detail about what she had done, but I believe she'd have went into great detail about what the Lord had done for them. I believe she'd have told and taught her children how that God came and saved them and had mercy upon them. And her and Adam would have been the ones to teach their children about the Lord and that it took the blood in order to be saved. Cain rejected it. Abel believed it with all of his heart. Cain brought of the fruit of his hands an offering unto the Lord, and the Lord rejected it, but Abel knew that it took a sacrifice. Where did he learn that from? Mom and daddy taught him these things. She'd have been the first one to tell the stories and to teach her children, people, as a pastor, as a preacher. People ask me when I meet them a lot of times, they want to know, "Well, where did you go to school? Where did you go to seminary at?" And they're interested in finding that out. My first classes in theology were taught by a professor named Jody. My mama taught me my theology about God. Let me tell you this morning, she's a good teacher about God, because there's a lot of things that I went to school and I've forgotten about, but there's some things she taught me about that I've never forgot about. She's my first theology professor. Anybody else, your mom is your first theology professor. What you learned about God, you learned from her. Do you know some things that I learned from my mother? Talk about being the source of all spiritual life. My spiritual life today is directly tied in with what my mama taught me about God. Mothers are very, very important. My mother taught me, and she got this from the Bible. My mother taught me to obey my parents. And that I'd better mind her. And that I'd better mind my daddy. I grew up in a day and a time where parents still whipped their children. Do you know that used to go on in our country? And some mamas, they'd say, if you don't straighten up, I'm going to tell your daddy when he gets home. My daddy was a truck driver, so she wasn't going to wait that long. She just took care of it on her own. And boy, that taught me to obey my parents. Daddy would always make sure he didn't hurt you because he's big and strong and he's a man. Mama was afraid she wouldn't hurt you, so she gave it all she had. I'd a whole lot rather got a whipping from Daddy than Mama. She taught me to obey, that I ought to mind, that I ought to respect my elders. She taught me, I remember a lesson when I was a little boy, my mother taught me that you ought to always respect the man of God. You ought to always respect the preacher. And I remember her saying, you better not call our preacher anything but preacher. You better never call him by his first name. And she got the Bible down and took us over there in the Old Testament where the Bible said the children came out and made fun of Elijah and said, go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. They's making fun of the man of God. And the bears came out of the woods and eat them youngins up. You want to find some good stories? They's some good stories in the Bible. You talk about two brothers that listen like this. I mean, we're little. Mama is teaching us to have respect for the church. Better not run in the house of God. It's God's house. Better obey. Better listen. Better be quiet in God's house. When I was growing up, the church was God's house. And the preacher was God's man. And what was going on was God's business. And it was important. And you ought to be faithful to it. I learned these things at home. Growing up. I remember when I wanted to start playing baseball. And I remember Mom and Daddy telling us and saying, all right, we're going to let you play baseball, but we're not playing ball on Wednesday night. That's prayer meeting night. We're going to church on Wednesday night. You know, once upon a time in our countries, Christians had enough influence that Wednesday night was prayer meeting night. We was going to the house of God when there's revival going on. We was going to revival. It was more important than what's going on down at the ball field. Amen. So there's times we missed. I know Brother David's talked about when they was little coming in and coming in to revival meeting, still had their ball clothes on and stuff like that. Hey, they's taught that this is important. We's going to church. We's going to make it to church. We learn these things. Where do we learn these things? From our parents, from our mamas. Remember me and my brothers arguing one time, we got to calling each other a fool. We'd heard that on Sanford and Son. Some of you remember that? And what was that woman he's always arguing with? Esther. And she'd come in, they'd get mad, and they'd call each other, yo, fool. Me and my brother got to calling each other a fool. And Mama got us to the side and opened up the Word of God and showed us over in the Bible where anybody that called his brother a fool was in danger of hell fire. What the Bible says. We stop calling each other fools. That's what the Bible says. I remember that. You ought to thank God today if you had a mother that raised you and brought you up and took you to church and read the Bible to you and prayed over you and taught you to be faithful to the things of God and taught you, put some character into you. Instilled something in you that's worth something. I remember one time I'd started something and I wanted to quit so bad I couldn't stand it. And I went to Mom and I said, I want to quit. She said, you're not going to quit. You shouldn't have started it if you didn't want to do it. When it's over, you can quit and not do it next year, but you're not going to quit. Mama. And to this day, I hate quitting. I hate I don't like to hear the word, I'm going to quit. Mama put something to that effect in my heart. You ought to thank God for your mamas today. Not everybody is mama, a mama, but everybody has had a mama. And that mama has been a great influence in your life for the good. Now, I know there's some. And they might say, well, my mama wasn't like that, preacher. You're different. My mama was this way and that way. And you know, there ain't a thing you can do about that. Except you can do better. You can go out and be a good mother, a good father, a godly example. Well, I tell you, one of the greatest blessings I have in my life, and we've homeschooled all of our children now, and Kim just about got through with one, and Chloe came along. And you can't experience that like I do, but to see them sit at the table in the morning and read from the Word of God, and talk about the Lord Jesus. And she asked us a while back, she said, why do you homeschool me? Why do you do this? And I went through and I told her, I said, you know how you do your devotional, and you know how you read your Bible, and you know how you pray, and you can't do that if you go, and I'm not throwing off one way or the other. Whatever you do, do for the glory and honor of God. Do it right. I have never thrown off one way or the other, but whatever you do, you're going to have to invest a lot of time in them children. A lot of prayer, a lot of Bible reading, a lot of teaching. What a blessing that is. If you had a mama that prayed over you, where would we be without godly mothers and grandmothers? You don't know how many men and women I've talked to down through the years and gone into the prisons and talked to men and heard testimonies, and somebody will say, you know, I was way out here, but my mama was a praying mama. What a blessing. What a blessing. I've heard many testimonies. The reason I got right with God, my mama was a praying mama. Everybody else gave up on me, but my mama never gave up on me. Eve was she's a mother of all spiritual life. She's a mother of all physical life. But she's also the mother of all eternal life. Look in chapter 3 and verse number 14. I want to show you something over there. Chapter 3, verse number 14. The Bible said over there, and this is after Adam and Eve had already sinned. But it said in chapter 3, verse 14, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And that was a curse upon the serpent. And that's why I say you ought to kill every snake, whether it's a good snake or a bad snake. Just kill them all. Verse 15 said, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Through Eve came the ruin of everything. Amen. Chapter 3, verse 6, the Bible said, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. She ruined everything. But from her also came the remedy for everything. Isn't that interesting? Through her came the remedy. And the remedy, the first messianic prophecy in the Bible. The first prophecy in the Bible concerning the Lord Jesus Christ is right there in chapter 3, verse number 15. And God said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It's going to be her seed that the Redeemer is going to come through. The name Eve in chapter 3, verse number 20, and Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. The name Eve means life giver. That's what that name means. Life giver. Now, the penalty for them disobeying was that they were going to die. God had told Adam back in chapter 2 in verse number 16. If you look back over there, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. God told Adam that. He said you can eat of every tree of the garden. He's just one. Don't eat of it. If you eat of it, you're going to die. And so when, it's no wonder that after they'd sinned, they hid from God. That's what they did. They had had daily fellowship with the Lord. But in chapter number 3, look over there. Chapter number 3 and verse number 8. The Bible said, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Why was he afraid of the Lord? Because he had sinned. And no doubt because God had told him, if you eat of that tree, then in the day you eat thereof, you'll surely die. And all of a sudden, where there was no fear, there was fear. And let me tell you, sin will cause you to fear God. It ought to. And so why would Adam hide? Because God said you're going to die. When Adam heard the voice of the Lord, don't you think Adam thought God's going to come down here and kill us? Today we are going to die because we disobeyed the word of the Lord. And he would eventually die. And all of Adam's descendants die. All of us, because of sin, are going to die one day. It's because of sin. Romans 5 and 12. Wherefore as by one man, that's Adam, sin entered into the world and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. We're all going to die. But they did not die on that day. Before they would die, God had to put a remedy in place. God could have just stopped with the human race right there. God didn't. God said, I'm going to provide a sacrifice. I'm going to provide. There's going to be a great battle of the ages. And there's going to be enmity between the seed of the serpent and between thy seed, her seed. I don't know how many people down through the years have asked me, wonder how long Adam and Eve were in the garden before they sinned. You ever thought about that? I don't believe they were there very long. If you look over in chapter 1, verse 27 and 28, we'll try to look and think about this just a minute, but in chapter 1 is an account of God creating man and woman. And then in chapter number 2, God tells about creating man and woman. In chapter 1, there's a summary, and in chapter 2, he goes into greater detail. That is not a contradiction. He gives a summary in chapter 1. He gives greater detail in chapter number 2. In chapter number 1, verse number 27, the Bible said, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. The first thing God told Adam and Eve is go and have children. That's what that means. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. That word replenish means to fill the earth. My grandpa and grandpa Cornette, Grandma Cornette, they had 9 children. And he was a preacher. And somebody told him one time, he said, God told Adam and Eve to go and replenish the earth, but didn't tell you to do it all. Because he had all them children. And used to be families had, they had large families. And so God told them to go and be fruitful and multiply. We come all the way over to chapter number 3 and they still haven't had any children. I don't believe they were there very long before they sinned. But I was thinking about this and studying about it, and I just wonder, I wouldn't argue with anybody about this, but I wonder if chapter 3, verse number 15, when Adam heard the Lord tell them what he told them in verse number 15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. I wonder if that was not news to Adam and Eve. She was going to have a baby. You think about that this morning. Because right after that, Adam called her Eve because she was going to be a mother. Was God informing them, I'm not going to let you die today. You're going to have children first. What was the Lord telling them, you're going to have children before you die. Do any of you men remember when you found out that your wife was going to have a baby? Do you remember how that you looked at her differently when you found that out? Some of you don't remember. That's been a long time ago. But it seems to me that I remember when we found out we was going to have a child. You know how it is. You look at her different. You look at her and you imagine she's going to have a big old belly for long. She's going to have a child. You look at her, you want to protect her all of a sudden. What she was doing before, now when she's doing it, you say, let me do that. You don't need to be doing that. You look at them differently. And Adam, I believe Adam looked at woman differently. And he said, I'm going to call her Eve. Because she's a mother now. She's a mother of all living. God's going to make a way to get out of this mess. I believe they thought it was going to happen sooner than it did. Remember when Seth come along, the third boy we read about, and the name Seth means a name? They thought that was going to be the deliverer. They were looking for the deliverer. They were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for the remedy to their mess. And so he called her not woman anymore, but he called her Eve. He called her life giver because she was the mother of all living. And many, many, many years later, there's a young Jewish lady, a virgin. Her name was Mary. She was a daughter of a daughter of a daughter. She was one of them daughters of Eve. Just like all of you ladies are daughters of Eve, and we are sons of Adam this morning. And there was a young lady named Mary, and Matthew chapter number 1 verse 18 said that she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. God told her in Matthew chapter 1 verse 22, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Didn't have to be a man in order for a Savior to be born, but there had to be a woman for a Savior to come into the world. He's the God-man. He's all God because God's His Father, but He's a man too. That's the only way that He could be our Savior is God had to come to this earth and He had to become a man like us and He had to die in our place on the cross so that we could have what? So that we could go out here and live any old way we want to? No, sir. So we could be saved by the grace of God and have eternal life. That's why she's the mother of God. of all life. She's the mother of all physical life. She's the mother of all spiritual life. And she's the mother of eternal life. Because it had to be through the seed of the woman that the Savior would be born into the world. And so we come on Mother's Day. Should we honor our mothers? Should we appreciate our mothers? You'd better believe we ought to. When the Lord Jesus Christ was dying upon the cross, you know one of the last things He took care of? He made sure His mother, He looked down at John. And He said, "Woman, behold thy son, behold thy mother." Make sure Mary's going to be taken care of. Take care of that. If the Lord in His last seven sayings on the cross, one of them, He honored and took care of His mother, don't you think we ought to? Boy, we ought to appreciate Mama today. We ought to appreciate just giving us life to come into this world. We ought to appreciate all she's done for us. All the time she's cleaned up, fed, clothed, took off what we had on, put on something that matched so we wouldn't go out looking like a Bozo the Clown. Amen. Boy, Mama's a good thing. She's a blessed thing. Proverbs 31 says her children rise up and call her blessed. Thank you, Mama. Thank you for what you've done. I'd like for us this morning to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed and